Hello, everyone. This is Melissa Rowe, and I'm here again with music in the background from my iPod. So I thought I'd play this because I'm in a meditative mood, for one, and for two, it just sounds nice. The album I'm listening to right now is called Forest, and it's one of the Lifescapes albums, and it's very nature-sounding, and it's got a lot of the flute. I don't know what this particular flute would be called. It's not like a regular flute. But anyway, so I've got that playing in the background, just as some meditative music, if you will. Now, there are a few things I wanted to discuss. I've been having some slight issues, I guess you could say, that are not really issues, they're just like, what is with my family? But that's in a totally separate boo. But first of all, first on the agenda, for those that enjoy writing, I encourage you to write. I'm not a person that likes to share my work with other people, but there are times that I may be inspired to write something that does deserve sharing. And my most recent project started last night. When I read an article on eHow about how you should care for a blind person, I was very disappointed and frankly appalled by how condescending the article sounded, although it may not have meant to have sounded that way. And the author who wrote it probably had good intentions, but the article just had a very, very condescending tone to it. Now, I admit I was filled with a bit of outrage and anger, but, you know, it's best to respond with positive responses. There are some bits and pieces of good advice in that article, such as don't leave cabinets and doors and drawers open where somebody could just bonk into because they're not used to that door being open. I know that for a fact because there are a few people that come to visit us and they will leave cabinets open that we normally don't keep open, and you bonk your head onto a cabinet or you know, something like that. So there's good advice there. And also, don't move things out of the way or move things out of place. Because when somebody is blind, they keep an organizational memory of where things are because they can't actually see them. So, it really, for some people, they may say, oh, this person's just ignorant. They don't know any better. Other people were kind of outraged, like, oh, great, now we come with an instruction manual on how to care for a blind person. So this article caused a bit of controversy, especially among my Twitter followers. And this inspired me to write an article about how to interact. The reason why it's called How To. Let me just let my followers know this. There's a site called WikiHow that's a little bit more accessible than eHow, I must admit. eHow's not all that accessible. I did try logging in with eHow, but I didn't find out, you know. But anyway, on WikiHow, you can sign up. You can write your own articles. Now, these how-tos deal. I'm going to lower the music because now it's starting to get a little... but these how-to articles, the title starts out with how-to by default for these websites. So you don't have to add the how-to in. So if you see an article by me entitled How to Do Something, I'm not exactly telling you how to do something. I'm just sharing my opinions and my thoughts and bits and pieces of advice that might help a sighted person understand that blind people are very capable of being independent. And just because they can't see, that doesn't mean that we deserve that kind of condescending attitude. Like, for example, it bothered me when someone said, you know, they can't see when food's been left on the floor or not put back in the refrigerator. I'll admit I have left a couple things out of the refrigerator by default because I'd have a party and I'd forget to put something away. But that happens to everybody. That has nothing to do with blindness. But what I don't like is when they say throw the trash for them regularly. You know, we're very capable of throwing the trash by ourselves. Pick up food that's been dropped on the floor. That I can understand somebody trying to be helpful, you know. But the whole thing about throw the trash regularly, you know, if this person is unable to get outside of their house because they have, you know, maybe they have other physical challenges that they have to overcome to get from point A to point B. I'm very sensitive with how I approach this issue because I respect those who are disabled or non-disabled. I respect everyone, and I would not want to offend anybody. So I'm very sensitive on how I approach this issue. But this has inspired me to write an article, and I've signed up with an account on WikiHow. And so I'm going to work on the article. I'm actually working on it in Microsoft Word, and I've written maybe one or two paragraphs last night, but I was very, like, tired and after a long day and of doing four loads of laundry and going to school and my husband getting his blood work and everything going on and on and on. And then, of course, Audioboo. I was having problems with the newer app, so I've switched back to the older app now. And I'm just going to let it, you know, go through that. So I found that very, you know, I was very disappointed with that article, but at the same time, they're just not very educated and they don't realize, that's very condescending and rude. And it is in some way disrespectful to those who are very independent and who are capable of, you know, living a fulfilling life and are capable of taking care of themselves. You know, I find it very odd. I still get questions. Can you bathe yourself? How do you bathe yourself? How do you feed yourself? How do you do all this? Every once in a while, every once in a blue moon. They don't happen as often as they used to, but every once in a blue moon, how do you bathe yourself? How do you feed yourself? And after hearing that for 20 plus years, you kind of get tired of answering the question. So it's almost like you want to imprint a sign on a t-shirt that says, knows how to bathe, dress, feed, and everything. Please don't ask how. If you need to ask how, then maybe you need a lesson on how to bathe yourself. You know, and it's not sounding rude or anything. I know that may have sounded a little harsh, but when you're asked constantly for 20 plus years, how do you do this, 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 this? My favorite one when I was a kid was, did you get blind by sitting in front of the TV? They asked me that for years. And then that whole myth, I guess, saying that you can get blind by watching too much TV, I guess that disappeared because, you know, people's eyes eventually, you know, they have wear and tear and they just get tired and sometimes, you know, they're unable to see things as clearly as, you know, when they used to. So I'm sure that too much of anything could be harmful for our eyes, but, you know, I really don't have any scientific, you know, proof to back that up, so I can't establish that as some sort of, you know, hypothesis or whatever, because I'm not a scientist. So, but that's my first thing I wanted to discuss. I am very appalled, but I'm going to respond with compassion and knowledge and say, you know, this is how blind people do live our lives. And this is how we could be fully independent. And bits and pieces of advice, for example, when you want to introduce yourself to me, and you don't know my name, don't walk up and say, hey, you. Because first of all, that's rude. That's not a very good introduction to anybody. Of course, you can make eye contact with somebody and say, hi, you know. But for somebody who's blind, they don't know if you're talking to them or, you know, that was the second point I was going to put out. If there's five of us in a room, hey, you can mean anyone. So you need to be more specific than that. Just a friendly little tap on the shoulder, you know, and then you know that you've got their attention. And then you could say, hi, my name is such and such, and give them the opportunity to say, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. And then usually after that, you could just call the person by their first name. Sometimes that doesn't even work. I've been in a room with three Melissas. I kid you not. It was like, there was Melissa Griffith, which was me, Melissa Johnston, and another Melissa. So there were three Melissas, and this was in my first grade class. So when my teacher would say Melissa, she would get what? You know, three different Melissas speaking. And so, you know, that sometimes is kind of crazy. So, of course, I was known as Blind Melissa because of that. But still, that all goes back to the whole segregation and labels. Just call me Melissa G or something. So that was one thing I wanted to discuss. I'm going to work on this article over my spring break in hopes that it will be published next week. I'm going to take little bits and pieces at a time. That way but this is a project that I'm definitely hoping to be put up next week. And I'm hoping that it might be a little lengthy, but it'll be something that is worth publishing because it'll bring understanding to people. So, but if you do see my article entitled How To Blah Blah Blah, don't take offense by that because they add the how to. I was reading some steps on how to publish your article on WikiHow. They add the how to at the beginning. So let's just say I'm going to think of this as how to interact with a blind person, because whether you're talking to them, helping them, you know, any other situation, you're interacting with them in any way, shape, or form. If you're caring for them, if you're talking to them, if you're just guiding them, and you're interacting with them in some sort of way, shape, or form. So that's what I think I'm going to entitle the article. Not that anyone needs an instructional manual. And I think that was another thing too. The way this article was written was more like an instruction manual. And that kind of seemed like, you know, I thought when children were born, they didn't come with instructional manuals. So, 17, 7. You know, I found that very odd. Another thing I wanted to point out about this whole blindness thing is, and this is going to be much shorter, but I understand when people make jokes, are you blind as a bat, or watch where you're going, you know. My favorite one was when my professor would say, do I need to make this bigger? Because he'd put something on the overhead. And he would say, do I need to make this bigger? And I would say, yeah, you need to make it bigger. I can't see it from back here. And he goes, well, you already know what's up here. You know, you have your document there. And he would, you know, email it to me. And I would just make little jokes. I understand people have a sense of humor. But jokes like the one I just read on Twitter. What do you call a blind German? A Nazi. A Nazi. That's bad. That's horrible because first of all, you're mentioning someone's nationality, German. So are all non-German blind people Nazis? See, that's a Nazi. The word Nazi is a very sensitive word. I mean, you're talking the Holocaust. That was a horrible, horrible event. And something like that is just very, a person who made up that joke is being very insensitive. Because I'm not German myself, but someone who's a blind German, I don't think would appreciate being called a Nazi. Because I believe Germans get a lot of criticism about that because of Hitler. Not all Germans are bad. You know, this stuff happened in the 30s and 40s and all this crazy, crazy junk that happened because of certain particular people. And it's nothing against the Germans, but I really believe that that joke was very insensitive. If you're going to have a sense of humor, that's great, but don't be crossing the line. that was a little too much. Just understand when you tell jokes like that. For example, and sometimes stuff like this is a little over the edge, and sometimes it's not. Now, I'm going to tell you an example. I mentioned that I was having a slight issue with my family, and I think I am going to bring it up, because the weird thing is this is kind of the opposite of the oversensitive blind joke. Now, we all have nicknames for our parents. I told you that when my father died, I'm gonna turn this computer back on because I want to finish charging my iPhone. I've got my laptop does not have iTunes installed, but I have my phone connected to a power source because my battery was getting low earlier. But we all have nicknames for our parents. But I told you, the day I lost my dad, I pretty much lost my mom too. So I pretty much don't have much of a family. And everybody's, you know, I'll tweet about my, you know, problems every once in a while. But to be honest, I really am not in contact with my family as much. But the little issue that I'm having, and this goes back to jokes and being so sensitive and being insensitive. You gotta, like, judge when when is and isn't appropriate. Now, let me see how much time I have left. 13, 7, okay, I have 13 minutes. So I'm hoping to get this done. Okay. Now, one affectionate name I had for my dad was I called him Soda Pop. And the reason why was because he was a soda addict. And he was always addicted to soda. He was always drinking Pepsi. If there were no clean cups in the kitchen, he drank from pickle jars because my mom would wash and save pickle jars to put salsa because she makes her homemade salsa. So he would just, he did whatever he could to get, especially Pepsi. He was addicted to Pepsi. So was my mom. She loved Pepsi. She drank Pepsi instead of coffee. That was how she literally got her pep, was through Pepsi. She didn't even touch coffee. You know, maybe once in a while she'd have a cup, but very, very rarely did my mom touch coffee. Anyway, the reason I called him Soda Pop was because, first of all, he drank a lot of soda and he was my papa. So that was my nickname for dad, was Soda Pop. My nickname for mom was Mommy Salami because it rhymed and it was cute. But my mom and her husband have taken offense to that. And now, here's why. If you know the shape of a salami, I guess if people really took it to that extreme, it could be shaped like, you know, male genitalia. I'm trying to be proper here, but when I would call her Mommy Salami as a child, she said people would stare at her. And that basically implied to other people that I was calling my mommy a prostitute because she was always going after salami. If you get the drift. Now, I would never imply that. Never imply that. That my mom was a prostitute, because she never was. And she never, you know, she's a good Christian woman. But the day that my mom died, she was never the same person. And I sometimes feel I don't even have a mother anymore. And so she has told me in the past, please do not call me Mommy Salami. That's inappropriate. Now, Jeremy, I told him a long time ago I used to call her Mommy Salami. Jeremy always thought it was cute. And he thought, you know, oh, Mommy Salami's cool. And he told me, now today is my mom's birthday. You know, she was a spring baby. And we were looking forward to calling her and wishing her happy birthday. Now, Jeremy wanted to be silly, wanted to be funny, so he took my phone. He stole my phone off of my computer desk. He knows how to use Siri now, even though my phone's an iPhone 4. He knows how to use Siri. So, he knows how the basic use of the voice control. So he got on my phone, said, call mom, and it dialed, And, you know, because he doesn't have my mom's phone. So he left her a silly message, laughing, saying, "Hi, Mommy Salami. It's, you know, I wanted to wish you happy birthday. I love you." He was being silly. And he also did not imply that Mommy Salami meant that Mom was a prostitute. He just thought it was funny. And I told him, I've told him in the past, "You better not do that. You better not do that." And he did it today. And I told him after that. My mom called a few minutes ago. She goes, "Oh, I just wanted to say thank you for your birthday calls." And then her husband interrupts her and says, "By the way, Mommy Salami is not appropriate." And that hurt Jeremy's feelings because he really didn't mean to make it sound so horrible. He never meant to make it sound. And I just basically said, "Jeremy, for real this time, don't ever say Mommy Salami again, because if it, you know, they are offended by it." So my feelings were hurt because she called me and basically told me about a car accident my brother got into a week ago, which was sad. We didn't even know about it until then. And then she goes, "Well, my husband, you know, Butch is getting hungry, so we've got to go. He's getting cranky. He says, I'm just going to go back to bed. So we got to go." So basically she is so, she basically wants to do everything to keep him satisfied. I'm trying to really, really keep my mouth shut and be reserved about what I say, but basically, this was something that did not need to be taken to that kind of level. So basically, I'm kind of slightly hurt right now because I was looking forward to calling my mom and, "What are you guys going to do for your birthday?" But she basically called me and said, "Oh, I wanted to thank you guys for your calls." And then her husband, of course, jumps in and says, "Mommy Salami's inappropriate." And I said, "Mom, Jeremy didn't even mean it that way. Jeremy was just being..." She goes, "Oh, I know, I know." And so I had to try and... Of course, I'm going to stand up for my husband. I'm going to advocate for him. And then she goes, "Oh, and by the way, you know, your brother, da-da-da-da-da-da-da." You know, she told me the circumstances about his accident. And I said, "Oh, my God." And, you know, of course, they're safe. They're at school now. Him and his girlfriend. But the point is that I've lost all conversation with her. She just basically called me to say thank you for your call, and you and your grandparents were the only ones that called, and about the accident, and Mommy Salami wasn't appropriate. "Gotta go now, Butch is hungry." This was her birthday, and if my dad had still been alive, this would have been totally different. My dad was a loving, caring Christian person. He had his own demons he had to fight too. He had his problems. And there were a lot of problems, especially with his family. But this would have never been this way. He would have never controlled my mom. And in fact, he even, when I used to say Mommy Salami as a kid, he never got offended when I said Mommy Salami. In fact, when my mom wasn't around, my dad would, you know, sometimes talk to her on the phone. I said, "Dad, how's Mommy Salami doing?" And he goes, "Your Mommy Salami's at work right now." And, you know, he'll tell me whatever. But when Mom was around, he never said it. But it just goes to show that some people, I mean, it's really hard to pinpoint that medium where you can make a good joke and people won't get offended. But at the same time, you've got to understand that crossing the line can be rude at times. So I don't know what to say, but making the judgment between when and when not to tell a joke. And obviously, we made a bad mistake. And I feel bad because I did warn him in the past, but he, of course, thought it was a joke. And, you know, because my mom has never gotten upset about it. And besides, her husband has never chimed in and said, "Oh, by the way, it's inappropriate." And she'll basically say anything he tells her to say. He basically coaches her on the phone and tells her what to say. And the fact that that happened today, that just kind of raised a whole new level where we finally said, "Okay, Jeremy, she has told me in the past that this is offensive. I have told you before. But, you know, and then of course she tried to clean it up by saying, oh, we know Jeremy was just sounding happy. I would rather him sound happy than angry. And I said, well, I wanted to say, well, then appreciate it for what it's worth. But I basically had to sit down with my husband and have a long talk and say, you know what, this is not acceptable anymore. This isn't. And I, this is sad because this is supposed to be her birthday. And, you know, we joked about it because today was the big 5-0. And we tell her that she's 5 years old because you can't add 5 plus 0. So we teased her and said that she's going to be 5 years old. Because she says, oh, I'm half a century or I'm 2 quarters. I said, no, Mom, you're 5 years old. Because if you add 5 plus 0, you get 5. Now do that to your age. I'm 28. So if I add 2 plus 8, that makes me 10. So I'm older than my mother. Anyway, you guys get my drift about this situation. It really needs to be monitored. And I didn't expect to go this long, but I think another audio boo would probably suffice discussing all the stuff that I've been having, you know, issues with, or maybe may not be an audio boo. Maybe it'll be a, you know, private recording, a journal entry or something. But it really broke my heart, the fact that she was, you know, I'm probably, you know, I don't see her that much. She lives in a different state. She can't leave anyway because all her medical, you know, her doctors are there. She has multiple sclerosis. And another thing too, it's like her husband took her traveling maybe a year or two ago to all these different states, to like 3 or 4 states, like to Utah and one or two other places. I don't remember. But anyway, he took her traveling just in case she ended up being bedridden and in a wheelchair in the future. He took her traveling to all these different states, but why didn't he take her to see her sons and daughters? Why? Because he segregated her from the family. That's another audio boo. That's another issue that we've had. I mean, he is a totally different person from my father. My father never drank. My father did have a smoking problem, but my father never drank. He had a bad experience, actually. He had a bad experience, actually, when he was 10 years old. Drank too much alcohol and got very sick. So that taught him a lesson. He never, ever drank after that. I mean, and if he did drink, I really didn't know about it. But my father was never a drunk, rowdy person. Sometimes this man drank a lot. And that was one of the reasons why I left the family home, because things got pretty rowdy in there. I wouldn't say that they got violent, but there was a lot of arguments. And that's something totally different. But what I will say is this man, I can never call him my father. Never. My mom has mentioned that I can call him my stepdad, but I just, instead of saying my stepdad, I just say Butch. I won't even call him my stepdad. He tells people that I could be his daughter, and to keep the peace in the family, I allowed him to walk me down the aisle because I had no one else who I considered, close enough to walk me down the aisle. At the time, I kept the family peace, too, because everybody was like, well, you should keep the family peace and just let him walk you down the aisle. I really didn't want to. But,
time remaining, 0:27.
I don't think I could ever call him my father. Him and my father are two different people. And that's what's really split this family up. But that's a whole new subject. But my point today is, be understanding towards people. Listen to people when they need to. Understand their feelings. So, that's going to do it for this long audio boo. and